He was a case study in how to thrive, not just survive, but thrive, through any span of years, short or long, through tragedy and loss, poverty and setbacks, missteps and blown chances. He maintained a steadiness, an evenness, and a self-reliance that today might be called resilience. He had a gift for seizing joy, grabbing opportunities, and holding on to things that matter. And he had an unusual knack for an even more difficult task, letting go of all the rest. His daughter, Madeline, once told my wife a story that captures something essential to Charlie's personality. She had found herself enmeshed in some sort of neighborhood angst in which this person says something to that person who turns around and does something to somebody else. And can you believe anyone would do or say such things? Inevitably, Madeline found herself on the receiving end of an irate phone call. Listening from the kitchen table, Charlie waited until she finally extricated herself. He waited some more while she described the situation. After a pause, he counseled his youngest to let it go. "You'll kill yourself getting worked up," he told her. "I don't have time for people like that," he said. The wisdom of centuries was packed into that laconic advice. Though Charlie was not a student of philosophy, I recognized in his words the essence of Stoicism, one of the most durable and useful schools of thought ever devised. It is a philosophy equally as compelling to an abused slave like Epictetus, the first century Roman who smiled as his sadistic master twisted his leg until it snapped, as to the second century Roman emperor, Marcus Aurelius. The Stoics taught that a life well lived requires a deep understanding of what we control and, more difficult, all that lies beyond our control. We determine nothing but our own actions and reactions, our willful choices. A true education, Epictetus taught, consists of learning to distinguish that among things, some are in our power, but others are not. In our power are will and all acts that depend on the will. Things not in our power are the body, the parts of the body, possessions, parents, brothers, children, country, and generally all with whom we live in society. For the slave, this insight spoke to the determination of Epictetus to live with purpose and dignity, even as a master controlled his body and actions. He could be bought and sold and worked like an animal, but he could not be made to think or act or be like an animal. It is circumstances which show what men are, he taught his students after gaining his freedom. Therefore, when difficulty falls upon you, remember that God, like a trainer of wrestlers, has matched you with a rough young man, that you may become an Olympic conqueror. But it is not accomplished without sweat. For the same reasons, Stoicism spoke to Viktor Frankl, an Austrian neurologist who survived the Nazi slave labor camps as a prisoner at Dachau. From his observation of exemplary prisoners who maintained their dignity and goodwill even in those hellish circumstances, Frankl concluded that everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way of meeting whatever life presents. This same philosophy has spoken to generations of alcoholics seeking to be free of an enslaving addiction. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, their prayer goes. Courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. What Marcus Aurelius understood is that all of us are slaves in certain respects, even the Emperor of Rome. We are slaves to time and chance. We are indentured to fate. Love the hand that fate deals you and play it as your own, he wrote in his Meditations. In another gem, he observed that it never ceases to amaze me. We all love ourselves more than other people, but care more about their opinion than our own. Ralph Waldo Emerson arrived at the same wisdom. A man is to carry himself in the presence of all opposition as if everything were titular and ephemeral but he. Rudyard Kipling praised those who can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same. Let it go, counseled Charlie, of the things beyond one's control. But Stoic self-possession is also the bedrock on which the qualities we now speak of as grit and resilience are built. Stoicism is the human fuel that gives the greatest mileage. Kipling's famous poem goes on to praise the self-reliance that allows us to force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will, which says to them, hold on. Let it go and hold on. In the way of so many great philosophies, these apparent opposites prove to be two sides of the same coin. To hold securely to the well-formed purposes of your own will, you must let go of the vain idea that you can control people or events or the tides of fate. You can't change what was, nor entirely control what will be, but you can choose who you are and what you stand for and what you will try to accomplish.